next to me, making love to his tonic and gin.
And we're back.
Hello.
Welcome.
Jamie's the excited one today.
Welcome to another episode of Straight Up.
Straight Through Downtown with Jamie.
And Colin. And that little miniature collie dog.
That guy was small.
The dog was really small and the owner was really, really tall. Kind of a little cartoon character-y. Alright, well, after a week of illness and then logistics.
Yeah.
Responsibilities and whatnot. We're back.
We are back, which is good.
And surely lots has happened. A lot has happened.
That's true.
One thing I was thinking about, because I've been listening to other people talk on the radio, and also just did a project where my friend and I transcribed a video conversation. Other sorts of editing in my world right now, especially of conversation, realize how many times we naturally say like and sort of and kind of, but how people on the radio don't. It doesn't seem like it. I almost did the other one. The other one is I mean is also one of those ones.
Yeah.
That we say.
Like then it's like glitch words. Or
yeah.
Something.
And I figure people who go into radio broadcasting probably there's a like training for a certain way of speaking. Is that
right.
True? Do you know?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, it's like with auctioneers, they have to like really train their brains and their voices to work in conjunction.
Yeah.
But, well, let's do this, Jamie. How about we turn on the radio to a talk station and listen to him for a few.
Okay.
For a minute.
Oh.
And just...
Great. 97.1.
Okay.
And many are hitting all the right...
Commercial.
What about this?
Classic rock station.
I know. Well, they have like,
This
morning with Bob and Jeff or something.
Wags and Elliot.
Right? That's who it is. Let's see who else. Especially like NPR, they know how to talk.
Right, but I was listening to a sports talk radio too.
Oh, and they
do as well.
And they didn't feel healthy. I knew it couldn't be healthy. Every time my eyes got this way, I got irritated. But now, I've opened my eyes to
clear eyes. Kind of like the tone of NPR. Clear drops clear away
redness with a fast... Well, they do it with commercials, too, for sure. I mean, obviously, they have to pick their words. Every word is money, but... I think we'll have to do that in a minute. When,
Anyway, I've been self-conscious of that. Conscious of that over the past few days.
And do you think that you would like to like turn down your glitches?
Well, sure, but yeah. I don't know how possible it is.
Right.
Although I was thinking during this, I could try to speak clearly without them.
I think it's for me, a lot of times I'll be talking too fast, and that's what gives me these like. These like little, like I said, glitches. You know.
These like little, I said like glitches, you know?
Yeah, but that's what I mean.
Uh-huh.
That's exactly what I mean. I don't know. It's a crazy world.
But I like them too. I mean, then we go back to our friend from the video screen, Ken Goldsmith.
Oh, right.
Right? And his transcription of, like, the way people talk and how it has all of them. And now I'm trying to remember. Maybe I should just look look at that, like, weatherman book and see if there are a lot of likes and sort of.
Probably not.
Maybe there are.
Do you think so, though?
I don't know.
Jamie's talking about it's a literal transcription of what a weather... Not the weatherman, though. It's like a weather news feed. So it's like one of those... It's all typed out. And it's just like one of those automated voices that speak it, I think.
Oh, I thought it was... Oh, then the traffic, maybe.
Okay. Yeah, the person
doing
it.
It's something... Somebody doing it.
Yeah. But I'm sure that even the weatherman or the traffic lady... Anyone on those news broadcasting, I mean, they don't say like and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I wonder, I guess.
I guess I do too. Started doing particularly with the toilet paper I am now, like, on track, and it's, like, one of these things I'm trying to do, make, like, one of these objects every day, you know, and they're, like, kind of smaller objects that take about a half an hour to make or so.
Yeah.
So, but I'd like to make about 30 or 40 of them in total, but it's good to, it's good because every, you know, if I do do this every day, which I have been, it, not only is it, like, I'm slowly making these little objects that I seem to really like, but it's also when I'm making them, the ideas start flowing, you know, and it's like, it's because I have that process that I can go to, sort of just like, not, it's pretty repetitive, but it's a making process, mm-hmm. that when I go to it, I get in the mindset, and I start thinking of other things that I can write down at the same time, you know, like, yeah. come back to later, or...
I like that.
Yeah, it's good. So that was why I think my weekend was nice.
Well, you want to hear a story about a miracle?
Yeah, for sure.
My weekend was insane. Oh, I told you this. I didn't tell the listeners.
You know what, though? Because I only heard the tail end of it, so I didn't get the full thing.
Okay. So, on Saturday morning, I was working on a little piece of writing. And, you know, I'm kind of just getting it all out on the page and then see what it is. So, mm-hmm. it's kind of stream of consciousness. Well, not stream of consciousness, but sort of... Every time something came up in what I was writing that it led to a different story, I started writing that story, inserted that story in. So hopefully it'll be this, maybe it will be this layered thing, and maybe it will just be a mess. But anyway, that doesn't matter.
Okay.
I wrote one thing, and then about having seen Dave Chappelle on the street, but not having anything, like, particular to say to him, but feeling, like, overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Which led me to being 12 years old, a ballet student in Chautauqua, New York for the summer. And that's sort of this, Chautauqua is kind of, it's most, well, there's like, it's like two parts. It's like this really brainy kind of vacation place for rich people, really. But then there's a ballet school for the summer, and a music school, and an opera school, and a theater school, and an art school for, I think some of them have, some of them are only, like, you know, sort of a high school, middle school, high school age, and some of them have college programs. But anyway, there's also a professional ballet company and a professional orchestra that are formed, I think a professional opera company, too, all formed by people who are performers in other companies throughout the country. You know, seasons only go through the fall and the winter and the spring. So summers are off. This company is formed of, like, really great performers from other companies. So anyway, the summer that I was there, there was a ballet dancer, and I'm not going to say his name because I looked at his information. He says he likes to stay private. Okay. So, ballet dancer who was amazing, and someone was 12, you know, my friends and I we watched the rehearsals, like, a lot, you know, except, like, maybe whenever there were other, like, kind of stupid things to get ourselves into.
Yeah.
So, they're rehearsing this ballet to, this is the professional ballet company, rehearsing this ballet to Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue. And this dancer was enormously amazing, like, just so great.
Yeah.
And I was, like, just totally, holy moly, if I can ever be, like, have an ounce of that energy, I would be so happy. But anyway, I'm walking down the street one day, and this place is, like, Chautauqua, if any of you have been there, it's very small. There are little sort of, like, alleyways, but nothing feels, like, threatening, so you can walk around all by yourself, it's no big deal. So I'm walking on this little alley, it's daylight, walking on this little alley, and I see the dancer who I'm talking about coming from the other direction.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I have to tell him he's the best dancer I've ever seen. I have to I remember that moment, and if right. I can get my thank you in. But anyway, so that was when I was 12, and then 4 years later, I was at another ballet program in North Carolina, and this dancer was teaching our class for 1 week.
Same guy.
Or
girl.
Guy.
Okay.
And so I was like, okay, well, enough time has passed. He's gonna be weird. I was also a teenager by now, and I'm like, he's gonna think I'm weird, so I'm not gonna do that. But I was just like, okay, I'm just gonna absorb all the energy I can, and I'm gonna give, like, as much as I can back.
Right.
It was like having an amazing time in this class. It was totally fun. It was like lighthearted, and like this the way that I totally loved ballet to be. After this one exercise in the center, he lifted me up and told me I was his ballerina for the day, which was insane. You know, nice. It was just like, oh my god, like for an awkward teenage ballet student, that's like and so, but I never said anything. So I'm writing this story on Saturday about that being 12 and walking down the street, because this really has totally informed a lot of my work. And I was like, oh, I should fact check to make sure that he danced with such and such company at that time of his career. And when I looked, he has this amazing story of like recovery from very serious illness. Like miraculous recovery from very serious illness, and is totally alive and teaching ballet, and also is a preacher. He's like, this is amazing. And there was also, when I googled him, his Facebook page, and I was like, oh
wow,
I will send him my message. And so I sent him the story, and I was able to tell him that he is the best dancer I've ever seen. And it was like this sort of amazing chance to go back 18 years in time and say what I wanted to say, which I feel like is rare. So the moral of the story is, and it's going to sound like Eminem, but deal with it, is whenever you feel like that gut feeling of you need to do something, do it. Or say it. Whenever those words are like bubbling around in the stomach,
right,
get them out. They might come out awkward with the likes and the ums and the whatevers, but make them come out.
That's a really, I like that.
There we have it.
I like that. Lesson learned.
So, this has been another episode of Straight Up.
It was the first half.
Oh, yeah. First half, we'll get back at you at 6.
And that's straight through downtown. Okay, well,
here we are at work.
See ya.
Bye. I think it's because of a little fender bender I was in once, I am much more a pay attention to the car in front of me driver, because once I was looking at the big picture, light turned green, I started to go, but the car in front of me was not doing that. So yeah. I'm very much a, and I noticed when I drove to get coffee that I'm a, definitely a rear view window looker a lot.
Yeah.
I like to know what's there.
Yeah.
So I feel it, but I feel like that's part more of a bigger picture kind of thing.
That, I think that's a bigger picture kind of thing.
So I'm a little bit of both, I'm going to say.
I will say, being a passenger on these commutes, when you drive, today I'm driving, but when you drive, it, I would say that you're more of a pay attention to the car in front of you driver as well. It's not like a something. It's not like a diss. That almost sounds like a diss.
I feel like it's a diss. It's not. I feel like in our conversation at lunch, I was trying to understand, like, okay, well, which is the better driver? And I felt like what was being implied was the bigger picture kind of driver is the better driver.
Oh, I don't think that was true. I think that the point was, for me, I took away from it that the point was more what kind of perspective you see other things besides just driving. You know, like what, I think it was personality driven.
Well, I know, but I'm trying to think, like, okay, well, it's probably worse to be the person who sees, like, the, gets, like, fixated on the detail, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the thing that's close at hand, it doesn't... I'm not sure, because I feel like it's, driving is like an awareness kind of thing, and not a reflective kind of thing.
Right.
No matter what type of driver you are.
It's a, you're in the moment.
Yeah. No matter if you're looking at the full, like, landscape in front of you, or if you're looking at the car in front of you.
Well, and we've talked about this before that, and, you know, part of it might be having this podcast, but we get to work and we forget the whole drive. You know, it's all about this conversation you're having instead of, you know, like, instead of actually paying attention to, like, driving.
Right.
Which is, I think, a way of, it is, it's like this, it's, you're in the moment, so, like, the past and all that kind of stuff, driving doesn't, you know, doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
It's all about what situation you're in right now. So, yeah.
All right, so let's start assessing people.
Okay.
This is almost like naming dogs. It's hard to tell from the...
Yeah. We also need to get somebody in front of us, or I guess, so we can... This would be good.
Okay, that was a good situation right there.
Yeah.
That car went to move over.
That was a honk.
And the other car would not let him.
Right.
To me, so if I were the convertible that didn't let the car into the lane, well, that was the person who was either going to let the car into the lane or not let the car into the lane.
Yep.
I almost always let the car into the lane, unless I don't see the person trying to get in.
Me too.
Because ultimately, I feel like, and this is maybe a more reflective thing, though, because of experience, not in the moment kind of thing, that traffic flows better when you do that.
When you let people...
Yeah.
When people let people change lanes.
Right. If you don't, then it causes a... Well, it could cause an accident.
Right.
But it also just causes, like, backlog.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the right word for... Backlog is like a...
No, it's where, like, consider myself more of a big picture driver, because I'm one to change lanes a lot. I'm like, I don't know. I feel like I'm not a good driver, first of all. Like, many people will attest to that. You know, like and it's usually, and I feel like I'm a better driver, like, when I'm by myself, probably because I don't have, like, this district, like, distraction or something like that, but, I think I try to keep a bigger picture. But I don't know, what kind of driver do you think, being a passenger, do you think that I am?
They don't find you to be, like, zooming in and out. I mean, we're driving the same path every day, though.
Right.
And I feel like when you do that, you already pretty much know which lane it's going to be.
Right.
It's more habitual at that point.
And I think, and it's funny, though, because, I mean, everybody drives differently when there's somebody in the car, too. You know, you try to do the taxi cab stop where you don't have to, like, jerk the person forward,
right,
and stuff, you know, but also when we're having this podcast, I don't really care that it's taking me, you know, that I'm not, like, going 10 over, you know, just to, like,
yeah,
not get a ticket,
difference.
You know, it's
right.
A different kind of driving where, you know, like, I'm just driving to get there, not to get there on time or anything like that. We're just, whatever.
Right, because we never get to work on time.
We're never on time. But we're always home a little late, so that's...
It's true. It always evens out.
It always evens out. But I think maybe a way that you can figure out if somebody is more of a overall or look at the car in front of you person is by, like, the way that they stop. Definitely. I think that has, like, a lot to do with it because... You know, you have this overall picture, but then if somebody driving in front of you just decides to take a right-hand turn on some random block,
right,
and you have to, like, oh shit, like, put on the brakes real quick.
Yeah.
That's definitely, like, a bigger picture.
So you would think looking at the bigger picture causes more frequent fast stops.
Yes.
Too. But then that sounds in opposition.
Contradictory,
to,
doesn't
yeah,
it?
Contradictory, thank you.
But it's yeah, you're right. It does. But
Whoa. Now what happened there was two things actually. This guy
somebody
in an
buying
Escalade,
too big of a car.
Yes. A of all, someone driving a way too big businessman-looking guy driving, you know, sure, maybe he's going to haul some stuff in just a little bit, but
yep.
I'm going to say he was dressed a little too
coming back
prim to be headed to Lowe's to go pick up a bunch of lumber.
Right.
Driving a big, not just pickup truck, but an Escalade, right? That's what that's called?
I think that was.
I've just blown our chance to have Cadillac.
Yeah.
Sponsorship, right? Is it Cadillac Escalade?
It is a Cadillac Escalade.
Man, there is a lot of that. And then, like, number two and threes just happened for other cars now, too.
Yeah.
Which are, we're kind of on a road where, or we are on a road that has parking on one side, and sometimes the parking is such that you actually can't drive in the lane that's right next to the parking. Jeez, what the...
We have heard four honks today. Four honks. And we're having a driving episode. This is perfect. And they were doing, like, oh man. Well.
I wish that was a video just now.
Yeah.
Like the Escalade guy who almost hit into us because he was not looking at the.
Right.
He was, I think, not doing either.
No, he wasn't. Because you have to pay. He was probably
a
look in
Watch
front of you.
Squirrel. See, but you're...
And I say that because he didn't care that I was right there.
Right.
And that I could have, you know, like, ran into him. Whereas if he had the bigger picture, he would have known that I was there.
But I don't think he was a right in front of you kind of guy either. He was a I'm on the phone.
Oh, okay.
Or
something. Yeah. Or like.
There's that type of
maybe
driver.
Maybe he was
too.
Recording a podcast.
The distracted driver.
Right.
But so then it happened on the other side too. And then it happened on a
side street.
Yep.
Yeah. But yeah. But I mean, I guess I'm trying to relate this back to art, the whole conversation.
Well, it is.
It doesn't.
I mean, if you don't stress about it.
I'm not stressing about it, but I see something there.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is why I'm commenting on it. And what I see is like either a sort of reserved way of making or a more, I don't know, flamboyant way of making.
And which one's which?
I don't know. That's or, you know, or which one is more self-conscious? Which one?
Huh. I think that actually both can be very self-conscious. So you can be very, like, self-conscious about what you're making fitting into this bigger picture of blah, blah, blah. But you can also
be self-conscious of the detail, like the smaller picture.
Right. I mean, that's a cheat answer to that question.
Well, and you can be a phenomenal artist either way. I'm sure that there
are. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I think, like driving, you can't just, and like a personality, you're never just one or the other. It's like it's a mix of everything. So it's like, you're not just a big picture driver.
Right.
Otherwise, you'd constantly hit into cars.
Right. And not getting anywhere.
So it's like where your tendency lies, but then it's also.
You think it's
like
kind
of, I'm hesitant with the entire like analogy of driving to personality.
Me too.
Because there's part of personality is this sort of the like more kind of reflective side. So I understand the sort of point, but I feel like you can't just be that category or the other category. Mm-hmm. It's always a mix of both, you know, being like very in the moment responsive and reflective.
Yeah. And yeah, definitely.
Very rarely are you only thinking of one.
Well, it's like that one test where, you know, everybody, you know, takes it in high school. That's like, you get letters assigned to like what you are. That personality test, you know.
Oh yeah.
I'm a TLBL.
There, it just happened again.
Yeah, it did.
A big
and a
picture
honk,
driver.
Too. Big picture driver meets front of you. Look in front of you, driver.
Right.
I wonder, you know, if it's opposites don't do well together, or if it's more of like a, if there are two big pictures, if they do well.
Well, funny you should say that, because I was thinking at some point this weekend, the last week, I don't remember exactly when, about how, like, people who are married or, like, long-term committed people.
Uh-huh.
Spend a lot of time together and maybe share a car and go places a lot together. Driving seems to me like it would be a source, could get to the point of being a source of serious tension. And when mixed with other things, potential breakup.
Because of the way in which each respective person drives.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you think that if you don't share that responsibility, or...
Or this isn't the right road, is it?
Yeah, it is. There's a lot more cars coming the other way than usual.
Yeah. That's strange. Do you mean that, like, they both need to be driver type A?
No, I think it could be you're both driver type A, and you just need to each be in the driver's seat, like, kind of equal amount.
Oh, okay.
Because if you've driven all of your life,
yeah,
then driving and being in the car is, like, an extension of your body.
Uh-huh.
And there's a way in which you do it, and then it's, like, then you're in somebody else's body when they're driving, right? Which is fine.
That's a good point.
But if you're always, like... It's frustrating. You're, like, disconnected to it, too, in a way. Like, you...
Well, yeah, like, you can't do anything about it.
We drive... The listenership may feel like we drive... We're in the car a lot together, but we're not in the car that much together. It doesn't matter. I don't... It's fine.
Yeah.
But I may drive a certain other someone nuts when I drive, and yeah, he may drive me nuts when he drives.
Huh.
But if we share it, then it's a little... better. I'm a terrible backseat driver, I guess, but only with certain people.
Right.
I guess when I'm my mom.
Well, when you're comfortable enough to express that kind of.
Yeah, I guess.
Because it's almost you can take almost personal offense to it.
Right.
Just like you thinking it's a diss that I considered you.
Right. Exactly. Maybe tomorrow we should do. We should do total brutally honest. Like I would have gone a lot sooner than you went. I guess there was a baby being tossed.
I think though too, it's I, because I'm driving and we're in this podcast situation there too, mm-hmm, it's like if I were when I'm in the passenger seat, I know that, like, you know, brain, because we're doing the podcast and you're driving and all that kind of stuff, is going to be, like, set back a little farther than mine, right? So, like, I'm a little more lackadaisical with my driving, whereas you, like, since you're not the one driving, you can sort of, like, nitpick.
Yeah. Well, it's the same, I think, even if we weren't doing a podcast. You're actually driving,
yeah,
and I get to, because I'm not engaging physically in driving, I can see the small picture, and I can see the big picture at once. So, as you're, like, worried about hitting the car in front of you, I see the squirrel that's, like,
right,
500 feet ahead that you're not going to hit, but I'm worried about that.
Right. Because you know that you would swerve, like, you could swerve, and you've seen
it. I would swerve, even though there's no need, because I don't have the physical connection to how fast we're going and
right,
the, like, control of the car.
Right.
And there we have it.
There we have it.
Pulled into the end of another episode. Been a long time coming of straight.
Yeah, up. Sorry about that, everybody, but I think it's just gonna be straight through downtown. I think it's just gonna be one of those shows that just, it's not gonna happen every time it should, but
well, it
does
happen every time it should.
Yeah.